This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Welcome. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and this is an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. And today's episode is the second part of a two-part series I am doing on your kids playing sports. So this one is Help My Kids Want to Play Sports in College. So, you know, we all start out at the same place with little kids that work up through the Little League scenario, and that was the least of my thoughts when my kids started playing sports. And if you listen to the other episode, I shared with you a little bit about my husband's journey and how he played baseball on a full college scholarship. So I knew that maybe sports were going to be down the road for my kids, but it wasn't something that was front and center. Well, before I begin and launch into the many things I want to share with you today, let me just put a shout out for our sponsor, and that is MediaAngels.com. You can visit MediaAngels for books and products that will help you as a mom and a homeschool mom, as well as some books that are kind of across the bridge books, if you will, that have information that may be interesting to you if you don't homeschool. Like, one is An Insider's Guide to Successful Science Fair Projects. That is a really good selling book. If your kids have ever thought about doing a science fair project, this book tells you a little bit about what the judges are looking for, and there's a lot of scholarship opportunities with science fair. And also books on writing and publishing. Well, let me get started here. So today I'm going to cover three things that I didn't cover in the last podcast. So this one is being your child's advocate. The second is your goals. And the third point is college recruiting. And so I want to discuss with you the first part, and that is, you know, being an advocate for your child. So just the way I set that up, I think you already realize that the advocate for your child is going to be you. Letting your coaches know that your kids are interested in playing sports beyond recreational sports is important. But ultimately, it falls on the parent's shoulder. And let me tell you, I was shocked to find this out. My kids tease me sometimes and say that I would put them in a bubble if I could. And yes, I'm very happy to admit that I would. I like everybody safe and sound and that kind of thing. But I think sometimes I live in a bubble as well. And I really think that it was an eye-opening fact to me to learn that while my kids' coaches are awesome and they care about my kids, they care about all the kids on the team, they just do not have the time or the resources, really, to help place your kids. So that is front and center. It is a very rare coach that really steps in and is an advocate for your child. And so with having said that, know that there's some homework that goes with this, and it's going to be time consuming, but also it is going to be very rewarding in the end, and especially if your child feels like they want to play in college or even on some travel teams. This will be the best thing for you to do, is to realize that it really depends on you. Many times kids get invited to play on travel teams, and so there's a thing called travel team, and there's also another called a showcase team. And the showcase teams are teams that are going to play mostly in places that are going to have scouts present, or it is sponsored by a big name in sporting equipment, or there would be a different sponsor there. So that's one way it happens. Another is a travel team, and that is one that plays outside of the local community. So we always chose teams that were, you know, close to our side of the world. We live in Southwest Florida, pretty far down the Florida Peninsula, and so it takes us quite a few hours to even get out of Florida. So we weren't really enthusiastic about playing outside of the state. And so we chose a travel team, especially as our kids were younger, that would be more localized. We didn't want to jump all over the state playing baseball or softball every weekend. As your kids get older, your goals may change a little bit, and so you'll want to look at those other opportunities, such as a showcase team. One of the other things I want to share with you is that this podcast is available on the website, and you can go to the website at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, and there you will find a lot of information about a lot of the podcasts that I have done, quite a few at this point. And so if you want to find this particular podcast, it is podcast number 92. Again, you can find that at Vintage Homeschool Moms. And it will say, you know, kids who want to play sports in college, as well as the number 92 on Vintage Homeschool Moms. And there you'll find links to everything that I'm talking about today, and I'll give you some great websites. A couple I found were pretty dated. Like, some of the information there was from 1999, and we're recording this in 2015. So some of the things that it does recommend, I will talk to you about in just a minute. You know, we have a really integral up internet now, and ways to get to some of the resources that you need very quickly without sending a letter, as some of the websites may ask you to do. So just a little bit of a heads up there. Okay, so you know, your advocate is going to be you. It also can be your child. If you have a very outgoing child, that advocate can also be your child. They may do a lot of research, and that research could be finding teams for your child to play on. I thought that was going to be an automatic thing as well, and I learned that, you know, things happen, such as you may have a child that's very good at their position. I have one child who's an infielder. He pitches and pretty much can be put anywhere, really, infield or outfield, except for catching. I take that back. I believe he has been a catcher before. In fact, when he was younger, he wanted to catch, now that I remember. But, you know, his best positions for him are going to be pitching, third base, shortstop, or second base. Those are really going to be his three positions that he can play. But when he was younger, he did play everywhere. And we laughed one time because I couldn't find my child. And I thought, well, maybe he's sitting out this inning, but he was, you know, somewhere that I wasn't expecting him to be. And as you'll find, when the kids are wearing the uniforms, they all kind of look the same. So it's kind of hard to find them. And then, you know, what happens is, you know, there's a lot of competition, sometimes in the realm of more the parents than anything else. And so there was a travel team that I heard about way later at one point, and I was really disappointed to find out about it because it was based locally to where I live. And we ended up having to join a travel team that was several hours away because of, this was actually for my daughter, the position that she played. There was a lot of competition for that position, and, you know, the parent that could have told me about it didn't, and the reason, I believe, was because our daughters would have been in competition for that position. Usually what happens if there are multi-players that can play different positions, then you're going to find that your child may sit out some innings. In the Little League world, there are different rules wherever, you know, you may be living. But where I live in particular, every child had to play at least one inning. And so, you know, or had to bat at least, you know, once during the game. So everyone did get a chance to play. But in the travel world, you're going to find that that's not the case. And you either have to be okay with it, or you're going to be spending money and just be upset. So I have vacillated between the two, just being okay with it to not being okay with it. And you know, again, it's because, as I call it, politics come into play. Especially if your child, let's say that your child's a third baseman and the coach's son or daughter, if you're playing softball, is a third baseman. Who do you think is going to get more play time, your child or the coach's son? And so those are the kinds of things to look at when your child is competing for a position. It's very disappointing when I would go somewhere with my son and have the other parents come up to me frustrated because they weren't putting my son in because one of the other coaches' sons were playing and weren't doing really well. Let's face it, every kid has a bad game. You know, we talked about, you know, baseball in particular being, you know, a game of disappointments. And so no matter whether your child plays football or softball or, you know, soccer or, you know, lacrosse, whatever it is, that child is going to have a day where they're just off. And so, you know, it happens to everyone. And during those off days, you would think, you know, that, oh, well, now my kid will be able to get a shot here. I remember one really disappointing weekend where my son was benched both games on that day. And so when we left to go home, I decided that I was going to reward my child going out somewhere fun to eat because he still encouraged his teammates. He thanked the coaches at the end, shaking their hands, you know, and so he really showed good sportsmanship. So, you know, again, when you're spending money on a travel team, you want to make sure that you talk to the coaches and find out what the playing time is going to be, especially if that is an issue. I know this year on my son's team, there were 20 kids. Not everyone showed up all the time because it's summer and these are teenagers. And so parents go on vacation, kids play on showcase teams. And, you know, even I had one, there was one kid, I think he played on three different teams. So these are all things to take under consideration. And, you know, you want to be able to at least have a heads up so you can make that decision. And again, you are your child's advocate. Yelling and arguing with the coach doesn't often go well. In fact, I don't think it ever goes well for you or your child. And so being aware of these things is very, very important. Again, I didn't realize a lot of the nuances that goes on behind the scenes. And I know being a coach is a pretty thankless job and people are typically upset with you coaching. So, you know, that's also something, you know, to take into consideration that your coach has probably heard it all. But it's, if you do it ahead of time, at least it gives you an idea of what the, you know, rules and regulations are, what this coach is thinking and that sort of thing. And it really helps. Most of the time when your kids are playing on a higher level, there is a tryout day. And that's where you can really get an idea of the kids and their skill level, and not just stay while your child's trying out, but just stay the entire time and just get a feel for the kids that may be on this team and whether or not it's going to be a good fit for you. We ended up finding out about some of the travel teams online, and not everyone has an online presence. A lot of the parents will put up websites, or you'll find information either from their high school coach, if your kids are playing in high school, or as you know, which is how we found out about a couple of different teams, and also from other people that you know who have kids that play. And so, again, you know, knowing some of the parents is important because they're going to be a great resource for you. And that's something I didn't work on, I think, as well as I could. I knew some of the parents, but not really that many. Well, we're going to take a really short break here. And when I come back, I'm going to talk about you and your child's goals as well as college recruiting. We'll be right back. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and I want to introduce you to my publishing company, Media Angels. I have a heart for homeschool families, and since 1994, I have poured my efforts into creating curriculum to support teaching science, especially from a creationist worldview to the homeschool community. My curriculum was selected by Kathy Duffy in her 101 Top Homeschool Picks. Another Labor of Love is a three-book novel series specifically for homeschoolers with a creation focus, the Truth Seekers Mystery Series that I co-authored with my daughter, Christina. Media Angels represents uncompromising quality, not only with books, but with an online homeschool convention and this ultimate homeschool radio network with amazing show hosts. Along with books, Media Angels has produced an American history and an American government video series, as well as a family Bible study, Homeschooling with Proverbs. It has been my pleasure to mentor countless homeschool families and missionaries worldwide. I also enjoy mentoring aspiring authors with one-on-one coaching and the Information in a Nutshell series. If we haven't met, please reach out. I'd love to help you on your homeschooling journey, or if you have a book, help you getting that into print. I can be found on social media and look forward to meeting you. You can reach me at mediaangels.com. Thanks so much and hope to meet you soon. Well, hi and welcome back. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and this is an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. And today we're talking about kids who want to play in high school. And you know what? There are so many resources that are out there, and I'm going to give you some of them that you can find on the podcast website. And if you go to vintagehomeschoolmoms.com and look for podcast number 92, you'll find links there to many of the things that I'm talking about today. Okay, so what are your goals? Does your child have a goal? Obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, your child may want to play sports at some point down the road. And so whatever season your child plays in, here in Florida, we play in the winter months. I know a lot of times most of the sports don't take place until the summer months up north for obvious reasons. And unless it's something like basketball, and that you're playing in the gym. So that would be a little bit, different. And the different sports, again, have different times. A lot of times people get serious about looking into what's available for them in college in the ninth grade. And really, that's a good place to start. If you do start younger, it's probably better just with getting information. I'm not a big advocate of putting your kid out there super young because our kids are growing and changing. I mean, my son grew about 4 inches 1 year. My daughter shot up younger, and I swear she's been, 5'8½, since she was 12. It probably wasn't that young, but she was, pretty tall young. But for the boys, it takes some time. And so if you're already pegging them or the coaches are pegging them because of their size, they really need to wait. And so I know that there's a lot of things out there that are very costly. There's websites that will do some video, and there is a place for that down the road. Again, I'm going to give you links on the Vintage Homeschool Moms page. And we have done some of the things that we've had to pay to do, but we always waited until our kids were a little bit older. Like, for example, Michael went to the baseball factory. And again, this is not a sponsorship or an endorsement. I'm just sharing with you something that we did as a family. And we did not opt for the video because he's way too young. So, he is in the middle of a growth spurt. And so, you know, we'll look at that. But look at their goals, you know, and some of the goals may be just to get stronger and to do conditioning. That is really, really important. There are a lot of different workouts the kids can do. I knew one family on a budget, and they didn't do any paid conditioning. Truthfully, the first year we've done that is this summer. But before that, you know, my husband had things that the kids did here at the house, and then they practiced every single day. Once they're playing their sport, their practices are every day after school. So because we homeschool, we played with the local Christian school, and that's something that you can look into. Different places have different rules, and that was the best fit for our children, although they could have played at a local public school, which there was one that was really, really close to our home. But we were pretty much told that if we did that, that our child more than likely would be benched. And so that was something that was, you know, or we wanted our kids to play the sport and not to just sit on the bench. And so obviously it depends on your child's skill and talent, but you want to be aware of that, you know, that where they play is important. And again, getting a chance to talk to the coach, maybe you're having to play an entire season of that sport to get a feel for the school if your child's playing. But typically every day they're going to have practice once they're in their sport. In the meantime, when they're not playing, if your child plays a variety of sports, they're obviously going to get the conditioning. But I knew of a family that, you know, they had all of the things that they wanted their child to do daily written out. And so that child could go through a routine every day. There was something a little bit different. And he was able to do all of his conditioning at home, and it worked out really well for them. Another thing I want to share with you is the place where you can find information about your particular state and if you have those goals for your child to play in high school and get that experience, especially if they're interested in playing in college. I would almost say it's a prerequisite for them to be able to play those sports. So one of the things that I would like you to do is research your state. And here there is a high school athletic association for our state, and it's called the Florida High School Athletic Association. And so there are a lot of other states that have similar things. So if you search, for example, if you live in California, search for California High School Athletic Association. If you live in Georgia, search for Florida or Georgia High School Athletic Association. And so you're going to get that information about what is available for your state. And that will give you all of the legalities, especially as a homeschool person. It will help you to find out what's required. And this is really for all of the athletes in that state. There are specific forms that homeschoolers need to fill out in order to be able to play. So one of the things I did not know, remember me talking about being your child's advocate and getting the information about that, I did not know that we had to be under the homeschool code a different way than we were. So we were homeschooling under the county when we first started, and then at one point before all of the legislation really was understood clearly, and we were getting some pressure from the local school board. So we ended up forming a private school as an umbrella school. And so we were homeschooling legally under an umbrella school. Well, as a homeschool student, we were not permitted to play at a local high school because really, on the books, we were a high school. And so we were considered a private school. So therefore, I had to unenroll my children, or my son at the time, from the private school, the umbrella school that we were homeschooling under, and sign them up under the county. Well, because I didn't do that until November, and sports began in January for him, for high school, he had to sit out for an entire year and was not permitted to play because even though we were homeschoolers, we were not signed up under the county. Very disappointing for my son, big life lesson for me. And if I had wanted to, because of his birthday and where it falls, his birthday is in August, I could have, just held him back a year so he could get his 4 years of high school in. And we opted not to do that. So you have to make your decisions that way, but just make sure that if you are considering playing in a high school, that you make sure that your ninth grader has been enrolled in the county at the beginning of that school year. The reasoning that is given to us is that your child or parents can take their kids out of one high school and put them in another, and this has nothing to do with homeschooling. It's just that parents get mad at one coach, or another coach can recruit an athlete from another high school. And so in order to keep from getting involved in the middle of a legal battle, they've just made it an across-the-board thing that if your child is not signed up, with a particular school at that, school, beginning of that school year, they cannot play. If a child transfers in from out of the county or out of state, that's a different situation. And again, those websites will give you the information you need, and again, I'll have links to that on my website. I'm under podcast 92. If your child is thinking about playing in college, that's one of the things you need to do, and that's one of the questions you need to ask under your goals. It's best to be in tournaments. It's best to have some kind of a travel team or have the best competition that you can. You can enroll your child in a college baseball program. I know the local college here has one coming up in August or September, I believe. There is a camp, so the kids can go and train with either some of the athletes or the coaches there. And so a lot of the colleges will look at your student, and there have been colleges that would sign up players just based on them attending these college, baseball programs. Also, there are high schools that do this. There are professionals. I live in Florida, so we have a lot of major league teams that play here, and a lot of dads who have actually played the sport who now coach. My son's coach played in the major leagues for 14 years, and he's just an awesome guy. Shout out to Coach Willie. And so much so, we liked him so much that, we were having Coach work with our son with his pitching because this coach pitched in the major leagues as well. And so, those players who are now coaches are very valuable. They're resources for you, and they're great, in their ability to be able to help you as well. You could attend a tryout. There are some tryouts that are available. I know here locally as well, if that's a goal of yours, look and see. One of the things that parents have to really sit with their athlete and discuss is, long-term goals. For my son, there would be more of a long-term goal for him if he wanted to play in the future. For my daughter with softball, it's not something that's a profession that a girl can really have. It's a very, very narrow field, and they're going to take the best of the best. So, being realistic with your goals. And the really nice thing about your kids playing in college, if that is a goal, is that it gives them some clout as a coach down the road. To say that, you played a sport in college does really help. And of course, to play as a professional trumps college, but two things that would be great to add to a resume. Another goal for your family needs to be those grades, not just your GPA, because while that's important, what they're really looking at is the ACT and the SAT tests. College Prep Genius is a podcast that we have on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, and that is an amazing resource for parents and kids to get some information about test-taking skills, as well as a lot of information about scholarships. In fact, there'll be a link on this podcast site as well that has an interview I did with Jean Burke, who shared with us about sports scholarships and the importance of getting those SAT scores up. So again, something that is important. Another goal is to visit some of the, colleges that your child may be considering. My daughter considered a lot of colleges because of their sports program, and then found that the college didn't have her major, or what she thinks she wants to major in. So that's, again, important that while the college may have a great sports department, you have to realize that it's a small window of time in your life, and how important is it to get that important major, which, in my humble opinion, trumps the college, playing at the college level if they don't have your major. So, again, important to have that information in. And then also, looking out for opportunities that come around. Again, those showcases are important. And, some of the things that we have done and have enjoyed is setting up a website for our child. So their stats are normally kept on a website. Here locally, all the stats are kept on a website called Max Prep, and that has, the stats from their games. Another opportunity that you may be looking for is to have a website set up for you. I will have some links there about some things that you can do. One of them is the NCSA. They either have a free website that you can set up for your child, and they also have some packages that they sell that have information links and things like that. They do some training. They have video, as well as some opportunities for your child to directly email the coach. Remember when I was saying there were some dated things? One of the things that I found on one of the websites, it said to mail a letter. Probably in this day and age, that might not be a bad idea because coaches get so many emails. But one of the things that is important is that your child get in contact with the school or the coach themselves. And actually, that's under the next point, which is recruiting. And, college coaches like it when a child that wants to play for that college does the research about the college that they want to attend, looks into the sports program, and contacts the coach themselves. You know, we parents tend to want to jump the gun and do the contacting for our kids. There's no reason why we can't, help them. But really and ultimately, it needs to be with the child. My daughter played on a showcase where there were recruiters, and my husband had a chance to talk to some of them. And one of the things that was really interesting that came out of that conversation was the recruiter saying that what they want to hear from the kid is why they want to attend that college, which I thought was really interesting. Kids that are really enthusiastic about playing their sport want to talk about why they want to play and what they love about the game and that kind of a thing. But this recruiter in particular was saying that what they look for is, why would you want to go to our college? And they want people who are committed to the college. And I think one of the reasons is kids get hurt. You could go on a scholarship and then get injured in that first season. And so if you're invested in the college, you're going to want to stay there more so than just drop out because, maybe you've lost your scholarship or, that part of it. And another thing we found out, which was, again, another very surprising thing, is that unless your child is going to play football, soccer even, basketball, the scholarships are not as forthcoming as they are for the, you know, those other sports. And, for example, tennis and golf, you know, have some scholarships. Lacrosse has some, and, you know, softball and baseball have some, but not nearly the degree of scholarships that some of these other sports do. So that is, again, why the SAT and ACT tests are so important, because they're going to help your child get that academic scholarship that will really help them as well. So, again, one of the things you want to do is look at some of the websites that have links that offer tips that maybe have some help in helping you with recruiting. And, again, I like some better than I like others. The NCSA is a bit pricey. It's an athletic recruiting website. It's billed as that. And I would start with the free website and, you know, go from there. And they're really good salespeople, which is, you know, what they're supposed to be. And so that is an option. We've had a personal experience with that website as well. And so I'm tentatively optimistic about it at this point. The Baseball Factory is where my son went, and he had a tryout day there, and it was really a fun time for him. He got to, you know, pitch on a major league field, and it was really a fun time, and he had a skills evaluation done for him. We are going to be, as of this recording, we haven't gone yet, to the Softball Factory for my daughter Anne, and they do an extensive, you know, recruiting or skills evaluation. I'm sorry, skills evaluation process, and we are going to do the video for her, because she is a senior, and we are a little bit behind the game here. Probably should have done this for her last year. But again, it wasn't something that was even on my horizon or that I had known about, which was another reason I wanted to do this podcast here for you, so that you can have some of these things and put them in perspective again, and see what the goal is for you and your child, and does want to play in college and would like to perhaps coach someday. So she has really, really enjoyed the game. And it took her a while to find her sport, because she played baseball with the boys for so long, and then she switched off to softball. And really, my husband and I were both surprised at how well she acclimated. But again, you want to look at these things. They do skills evaluations all over the country, and you can find out more information. Again, I'll have links on the website. There also is a great website that I'm going to put here. Again, it's a little bit dated, but it does have information about, you know, finding more, more information about, you know, different teams and that sort of thing. One of the best things I found on this website was that it had a timeline that you can use that goes through some of the things that you can maybe set up, and you know, set up a flow chart, if you will, or a timeline on how to look for you know, professional type of things. It's more, it does have a lot of stuff like pro scouting and things like that. So it's, you know, at that level, and we're more interested in our kids playing in college. And I know that there have been people that have been recruited right out of high school. And, you know, those are very, very talented people. And maybe your child is one of those. And that's another decision you'll have to make as a family, deciding whether or not that is for you. Some of the websites that are out there that can be created for your child have a flat fee. Others have a monthly fee, and so you have to look again at those options and see what that fit is for you. If you're a techie, you can put up a website for your child, and as you're sending out the emails to the various coaches, you can easily find that information online yourself as a do-it-yourselfer and just host your website for free, even on WordPress. And that way, even if it's a little funky URL, you know, you can still send that out in an email as a clickable link. And if you send it to a coach and there's information that you put in your email to that coach, they would, you know, definitely go see the website, whether it's some fancy one or one that you created yourself, as long as the information on there is good. One of the things that they do look for are the kids' stats, and they're not looking for the high school stats because those are not always accurate. Even when my daughter played in the World Series, we found out that some of her, something that she did or one of the hits that she got was given to another girl on the team. And so it wasn't, you know, kept as expertly as you would have considered at the Little League World Series level. So that's one of the reasons that they don't really look at the high school stats. And they want the stats to be done by two coaches. So either you find a training facility or you get the coaches that your children play under to do the stats so that they can have them, and you need the coaches' names for verification. And then also they're looking for video, but they're not looking for the game video. They are looking for skills video. They want to see the kids in action and practicing, which again, news to me. I didn't know that, because as many of you probably do, you take pictures of your kids during the game and you take video. I never did this until they got to the high school level, and you know, I knew we needed some of this footage. And then I found out, really, they're not looking for game footage. That's nice, but they're really looking for the skills footage, again, which is one of the reasons that we're going to be going to this facility and having them do the video. And I'll have to put a little note on this podcast number 92 after we actually do that. And I probably will put a link to my daughter's website that they put up for her, and then you'll be able to see that. Again, after the fact, probably be sometime in August 2015. So if you're listening to this podcast earlier than that, then it won't be up yet. But when it is, I will have that link up there, and then you can see the full effect of having that video created for her. So, you know, just some of the things to consider. Another is a follow-up with a coach, and that means picking up the phone and calling. Now, yes, I podcast. For those of you that know me, I've been on the air for about 5 or 6 years now in different capacities. I've been a public speaker for over, 15 years, and yet I hate to pick up the phone and make a phone call. So now you know something about me. But I'm going to tell you something that happened to a friend of mine's daughter. So we were talking, and my friend was sharing with me her daughter's amazing stats with her swimming. And this kid, you know, it's a really close friend of mine, and I love all her kids, you know. So she was sharing with me, how wonderful, how wonderfully her daughter did. And so she was telling me that her daughter was considering going to this college. And when she looked at the stats, her stats were even better than some of the boys' stats that were playing on the college level. And yet the coach had not emailed her back. And I said, oh my gosh, I know exactly what happened. And she said, what? And I said, the coach didn't see this email. They get so many that they're not always going to see the emails, and especially if it's at that time of the year when everybody's applying to go to college, right? So she said, I said, you know, if she really wants to go, she needs to find the coach's phone number and call him up. And would you believe this child did this, and the coach had not seen the email. And when he pulled up her information, he said, no, I want you to come, and I want to talk to you in person. So they went to the school, and she had a tryout, and she got scholarship to go. So again, you know, you never know if you've sent the information, it's something, you've got the good numbers, you've got good grades, and you want to go to that school, then pick up that phone, because that could be the difference between actually getting to go to the school and not. Well, again, thank you so much for listening in, and, you know, go ahead and email me at felice@mediaangels.com if you have any questions about this or any other, broadcast that I've done on this network. Again, it's vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, podcast episode 92. And if you would, go to iTunes and give me a rating. I'd really appreciate that. And one of the best compliments you can give me is sharing this episode with a friend. So there's lots of social media buttons at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, and especially on each of the podcasts that you can share with a friend or with those on your Facebook page. Again, thanks so much for listening in. God bless, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.